It was I who taught the people of Ephraim to walk. I took them up in my arms, but they did not know it was I who healed them. They did not know it was I who healed them. So says God to the people of Israel through the prophet Hosea. This morning's gospel opens on a brother who believes he's been wronged. Teacher, he says, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me. He comes to Jesus hoping that, as teachers sometimes did, Jesus would judge and interpret the inheritance laws. He hopes that Jesus would recognize the unfairness, the injustice, and vindicate him. This brother is so familiar to me. He is familiar from my own fights with my brothers, all the times I ask my parents to intervene. He's familiar from all the times that I've felt wronged, complaining to anyone I thought would be sympathetic and would validate my indignation. But Jesus gently denies this brother's request. I don't think there's a problem with the request itself, the request for Jesus' judgment about what is owed to whom. On another day, to another person, Jesus might have responded differently. In fact, he sometimes did. He says of the scribes that they like to walk in long robes and have the best seats in the temple, and yet they devour widows' houses. Jesus judges that more is owed to the widows. And in the parable about the rich man and starving Lazarus, Jesus judges that more is owed to Lazarus. In matters of social and economic justice, Jesus does not hesitate to weigh in. But in this young man, Jesus sees a deeper need. They did not know that it was I who healed them. We do not always know when we are in need of healing. And healing does not always look the way that we expect it to. But Jesus is a healer with expertise in diagnosing spiritual ill health. He notices how this dispute is damaging a relationship between brothers, and sees in the questioner a distorted relationship to wealth. Knowing that this brother is not alone, Jesus turns and addresses the whole crowd gathered and says, take care. Be on guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. On the one hand, we know this. Of course, life does not consist in things. There's not one of us here whose life purpose is amassing wealth. But Jesus recognizes that greed, that a distorted relationship to wealth, is more nuanced and more sneaky than that. To help us understand, he tells the story of a rich man. It is, to my ears, a tragedy. I imagine that this man has studied agriculture rigorously. He tends to his land, selects his seed and his workers carefully. There's no cutting corners on his property. I imagine he's worked hard and diligently. And he's also had good luck. The weather has been in his favor. Enough rain, but not too much. Sun, but not so intensely that it burns up the seedlings. A good growing season. His land produces abundantly, so much that his barns can't even hold it. He thinks to himself about what to do with this great problem. And he decides, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. I will store my grain and my goods. I will say to my soul, eat, drink, and be merry. And that very night, he dies. His death is not a punishment ordered by God. That's not how God's work. The reading from Hosea is all about how God's compassion wins out over God's frustration and anger. What God is doing here with that lamentation, you fool, is commenting on the tragic timing. This man has spent his whole life preparing and planning and toiling and saving for retirement. He's been so busy racing against the possibility of need, the insuring himself against the threat of not having enough, that he has missed his life. And not just his. In his race for security, his world has narrowed to a world of one. He seems to be totally alone. His conversation is with himself, and every question starts with I. He's missed all of the people around him. And the man who is worried about having enough for himself now has more than he knows what to do with. And it never even occurs to him to share with those who are suffering from the very fate that he has feared. It never occurs to him to share his surplus grain with the people around him who do not have enough. Ultimately, this gospel is about life. Not life in the sense of continued existence, but abundant life. Life that is overflowing with real community and deep meaning and messy glory. This gospel is about Jesus' desire for abundant life for us. This brother and this rich man, with their hustling and striving and struggling, are going about it the exact wrong way. We can't actually get there ourselves. Jesus says not once, but twice in this gospel, those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will save it. That's a daunting proposition. But if we keep reading past the end of the assigned passage, Jesus gives us a sense of how God makes this possible for us, how when we give our lives over, God provides. Jesus says, "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Do not keep striving for what you are to eat and what you are to drink, and do not keep worrying. Your Father knows what you need. Instead, strive for his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." It's easier said than done when there is so much to worry about. Retirement, climate change, violence, the health and well-being of our children in a dangerous and uncertain world. Those dangers are real. And in the face of them, we may find ourselves hoarding all the power and resources we have in an attempt to protect the people we love most. Jesus is showing us that these worries and anxieties and our ways of protecting against them have a way of co-opting our lives. They have a way of narrowing our concern to ourselves and those we love most. And they have a way of stealing our life out from under us while we're trying to secure it. Jesus wants more for this brother and more for us. So he calls us into his paradoxical way. When we feel the grip of those anxieties and fears, Jesus invites us to notice, to heed his warning, to take care. And instead of saving, to lose. Instead of clinging, to give. Jesus comes asking us to give over the whole of our lives to God's kingdom. That is the way to healing and the way to abundant life.